Well, tonight, before we go to our prayer time, I wanted to do a brief word study with you of a word that's used many times in the New Testament, and just wanted to look at three separate passages that it's used in tonight and hope that it'll be a blessing to you. It's a word that is mentioned about 11 times in the Greek in the New Testament. It's translated seven different words of English in our King James, at least. And the word in the Greek is the word spoudazo. I know you probably don't really care or will remember that, but it's the word spoudazo, and that's going to be our study tonight. It's translated in basically as it means an endeavor or to go and endeavor to do something. There's the ways that it's translated in the King James. It says endeavor or to do diligence, to be diligent, to give diligence, to be forward, to labor or to study. And one of the most well-known passages that we're going to look at tonight in a few minutes is 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, where Paul tells Timothy to study to show yourself approved unto God. That word is the word that we want to look at. The word study is spoudazo. So I wanted to look at the word spoudazo, give you kind of a definition of it, and then look at how it's supposed to be applied in our spiritual lives with a few verses tonight. But the word spoudazo in the Greek has the idea, I know it's translated endeavor or labor or study, but really the idea is to make haste in something or to hasten yourself to exert yourself in doing a particular task. So applying effort and really taking a task and hastening to it, not being slothful or kind of lazy about it or postponing it. To hasten to get that task, grab that task and get it done, to make effort in it. I was, of course, doing camp this week, and trying to get the kids to move in a timely fashion is kind of like pulling teeth, I guess, as they say. They don't hasten or exert themselves to do anything unless it involves food or swimming. That's pretty much about it. When you walk into the gym, all you hear is, when's snack time? When are we going to eat snack? We've been having these little cereal cups for snack and milk, and little cartons of milk and orange juice, and Buddy, they love that. They just can't wait to open up the concession stand and get their little cans of cereal and start eating that, and you always hear it. And I told Miss Adams today, we were watching the Blue Angels out there at the, behind the museum, and I said, Miss Adams, if I hear one more kid ask when's lunch, I'm probably going to go shoot myself or something, or stand in front of the Blue Angels and say, mow me down now, please. But they exert themselves when it comes to the food or when it comes to something that they want to do, and that's natural with all of us. We like to apply effort when it's something that we're interested in or something that we like to do. But the Bible tells us that in our spiritual lives, there are some situations that we need to be diligent about. There are some things that we need to hasten to the task to fulfill certain things and exert ourselves. It's going to require some work. It may be something that's not always easy. It may be things that sometimes are difficult for us to do, for us to kind of put our hands around and to get to the task, but it's something that we've got to do. It's that get to work and get it done mentality. Been around, I guess, it seems like in the years I've been teaching, only about 9 or 10 years, it seems like the longer things go, there's just less and less of a mentality of young people that just want to get in and get something done. It's always the postpone, drag it out, don't do it, and then just wonder why you get a zero, and it's not fair. And it's okay, that's kind of weird. We're losing that mentality of let's get the task, let's grab a hold of it, and let's go get the task done, even when it's something that you don't really like to do. I was telling the guys, I guess, last week at break, I was talking about painting. I used to paint with my dad quite a bit. We were talking about how when I first started painting, I didn't start my first day when I was 14. I didn't walk into the house and say, Dad, let me have that paintbrush. I'm going to go ahead and cut a straight line in for you on this door cases and baseboard. And if I touched the brush, my dad would have probably started punching me in the face or something. I don't know. He let me do all the fun jobs, sanding, caulking and puttying and on your knees all the time and sweeping the house and cleaning out the closets and making sure everything was ready for the professionals to paint because I couldn't touch a brush. And I was telling them, I remember the first time I actually painted something. My dad had gone off the job and the men wanted to teach me how to paint, so they gave me oil primer, which is one of the hardest things to use. And they put me on a metal door with oil primer, probably some of the toughest stuff you could ever do in painting. And I'd never painted before. But I muttered my way through that and gummed it up pretty bad. And Buddy, my dad was so mad. My goodness, I thought he was going to fire me. But the men stuck up for me and said they were going to teach me. And so it all kind of worked out. But I remember my dad used to drop me off in these houses, big, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 square foot houses, 25 foot ceilings and really high walls. And I had to sand with a pole sander about this big. I had to sand every inch of every ceiling and every wall all day like this. Now, is that a fun job? I hated it. But I determined something. I made my mind up. I said, you know what? Somebody's got to do this, and I'm just going to do it the fastest I can with the most energy I can, and I'm going to get it done as best I can so my dad will be proud of me. And I would just get in there and thrash and get it done in 2 or 3 or 4 hours, depending on the size of the house. And then I would say, "Ha, I'm done for the day." And then my dad said, "You're done already? Great, let me take you to another one." Not what I wanted to hear, but getting in there and just facing this task. I don't want to sand these walls, but it's got to be done. Let's just get in there and let's do it. That's kind of the idea of this word spoudazo. You may not like to do it, but you need to hasten yourself to the task. You need to just grab a hold of it and let's just get it done. You know, there's a lot of things that I used to like cutting grass until I moved to Florida. And just the thought of you get off work and you go outside and it's 400 degrees outside. My goodness. But now, fortunately, Seth has learned to push the lawnmower and he can, but I still have to weed eat, which I haven't done that yet. But, you know, you've got tasks, you just don't want to do it, and it's just torturous, but you've got to just grab a hold of the task and get it done. That's kind of the idea of this word. I don't want to do this, but I've got to do the job. And it's the same thing spiritually when this word is used in the New Testament. Many times, even spiritually, we only exert effort in areas that we like or areas that maybe are a little easier. But God wants us to hasten to the task, even in things that sometimes are hard for us to do, even in sometimes in things that we necessarily don't feel like doing, but there's a task to be done. Let's look at some passages. I just want to look at 3 verses tonight. There's numerous. We could look at all 11 passages and spend a long time on this. It's Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's our first verse. Ephesians chapter 4. Very familiar verse. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just start right in verse 1. These are familiar verses. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." How are we to walk? "With all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." And here it is in verse number 3. That first word of verse number 3 is our word, spoudazo. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." First thing tonight, make haste or exert yourself, apply energy to keeping and guarding something, to keep and guard the unity of the church, the unity of the brethren. You know, it takes work. It takes exertion. It takes hastening to the task to keep the unity. You know, disunity is an easy thing. Disunity is easy because it takes no effort. It just can happen when you don't work at keeping the unity. You know, just do what is in your nature as a human being. Do what's in your nature as a human. Act the way that your nature is designed for you to act, and there will automatically be no unity. Why? Because our nature is designed to act to put ourselves first. Which is why this verse is given around the context of verses number 2 and 3. Keeping the unity, hastening to the task of keeping unity among the brethren, involves the denial of ourselves. Remember what verse number 2 said at the end of the verse. Forbearing one another. Let's be lowly. Let's be meek. Let's be long-suffering. Let's forbear one another. That means I'm not first. I'm later. So I've got to really work at. Now, it's not something I might, you know, as I said, this word is often used in tasks that we may not want to do. Oh, it's not natural for us to want to put ourselves last. It's not natural for us to put ourselves down. And I'm doing camp, so I've got a lot of camp illustrations, just like, I guess, around ball season. There's a lot of ball season illustrations. But I told today, I had the group, and I said, "Hey, let's get in a straight line on this." There was a big old huge crack in the concrete. And I said, "That's perfect. Let's all make a line on the concrete." And of course, what happens? Standing right behind me. A bunch of other kids come and stand in front of me, and I'm like, "No, you got to get behind me." But I was here first, and I want to be first, and that person pushed me. And you know, it's all about who wants to be what. First in line. And when we come to eat lunch, they all want to be first in line. But I usually say, "Who's been the most well-behaved and quietest table?" And they'll always get real quiet. And there's inevitably that one table that has everybody's quiet except that one kid in the corner going, and the rest of them are trying to strangle him because they want to go eat. But who's going to be first is the question there. And it's a natural thing for us to do. We want to be first. So we have to exert energy, so to speak, effort. We have to put thought into keeping unity. And in order to keep the unity, that thought requires me to put myself down here and allow the Lord and others to come first. We all have our issues and our problems, of course, and we're good about pointing them out. So it takes work to keep the unity. It takes work to remember that we're all human. We're all trying to serve the Lord and walk with Him, and we have to have that forbearing one another, as verse number 2 mentions, to keep the unity and the peace among the brethren. So our first thing, make haste and exert yourself to put yourself not first, put yourself last, so that unity is withheld. It takes work to keep unity is the point we're making tonight. Let's go to a second verse as we quickly move on. I've already mentioned this one, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Another usage of the word spoudazo. Again, this is probably one of the most well-known of the three verses that we're going to look at tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's just begin. We'll pick it right up there in verse number 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. There's some that are going to try to talk about things that don't matter, and they're going to try to make big stinks about things. And Paul is always reminding Timothy, hey, stick to the Word of God. Stick to sound doctrine. Don't get carried away by these foolish questions and all these things. They're going to try to subvert. So instead of doing that in verse 14, what should we do? Verse 15, and the first word again of verse 15 is our word, spoudazo, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here in this context, secondly tonight, I am to make haste or exert myself in studying God's word as a workman and studying God's word properly and correctly. You know, it takes work to sit down and study God's word. There are many things that vie for our time. There are many things that the world or the devil or even our own selves try to put in the way of studying God's word, of taking time to spend time in the passages of Scripture, as we were preaching Sunday night, just to get something out of it, to read something and to understand it. Maybe to look at a commentary, maybe to look up some words and what they mean and understand the context and learn something from God's word. It takes work to set time aside. You know, it's not just going to happen on its own. It's one thing to just say, yeah, Lord, help me to be faithful to you and help me to be faithful to your word, but then I never take time to study the word of God. It doesn't happen on its own. This passage has the idea of being diligent, putting effort into your work because you are a workman. Notice the verse says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In other words, it's the idea that if you're a laborer, you're hired to do a job, that you need to be diligent in that job that you do, because if you don't, someone's going to come along and inspect it and you're going to be ashamed, perhaps. We have this paving project going on. We're going to have to, you know, inspect it, make sure they're doing what they're said they were going to do, right? I remember our pastor years ago when I first came here, he preached a message about don't expect something unless you inspect something. I'm sure you've heard that quite a bit. We expect they're going to put the drains down in the parking lot up front. There's going to be drains there. Yeah, we won't check. We'll just make, they said they'd do it. It should be fine. No, we go out and you look at things. You inspect things. In the classroom, if you want something to be done a certain way, then you better look at it to make sure they're doing it that way. Inspect it. In other words, the point is I'm going to be diligent in studying God's Word, in studying to show myself approved unto God, because He's the inspector, so to speak. He's the one that's going to come along and see the work. Are we going to be ashamed, or will it be that we've rightly divided, rightly studied, rightly understood the Word of God? There's so many today that can get easily led astray by not rightly dividing, by kind of subverting and kind of transitioning the truth away from what it really means. There's going to be an inspection. There's going to be, therefore, some expectation. God is going to inspect the work. God's going to inspect how we handled His Word, how we studied it. Did we divide it appropriately? We're to be earnest in our study. So let's take haste to the task of studying God's Word and studying it in the right mindset, knowing that we're accountable to someone. We're accountable to God, the one who's authored His Word. So not only do we, as we saw first of all tonight, make haste and exert ourselves, put effort into guarding the unity of the church, but also secondly tonight then, make haste, make effort to study God's Word and to study it appropriately, knowing that the Lord is going to watch. And we don't want to be ashamed at His coming. We want to be found worthy in His sight. And then our third passage tonight as we kind of bring things to a conclusion is Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, go to our last verse that we're going to look at tonight. Just a few pages over. Hebrews chapter 4. There's a promise that begins in verse number 9 of Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's a promise. There's a rest out there for the people of God. Look at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. And then verse 11, here's our word, spoudazo. Let us labor. That's our word, spoudazo. Let us be diligent. Let us make haste. Let's take the task seriously. Let's put some effort into it and put some exertion into it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Putting a conscious effort, making haste into ceasing from self. I know the Bible here says enter into rest, but in verse number 10, how do we enter into rest? By ceasing from ourself. We have to work at ceasing from, as I said earlier, our natural propensity to act, to work, and to do things in the flesh. To do things just the same old way we've always done them, doing them in our power, in our strength, and thinking that God just, you know, will call on Him when we need Him. But right now, I've got everything under control. God wants to bring us to a rest. He promised it in verse number 9. He wants us to come to rest. And we are here told in verse 11 to labor to enter into that rest. You know, it's an example, as we see in verse 11. It is an example of unbelief. He says in verse 11, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We don't have time to go into the entire second, third, and fourth chapter of Hebrews, but he's talking mainly about Israel, who tried to get into rest, but they were doing it in their own strength. They weren't trusting the Lord. And why did they not enter into rest in chapter 2 and 3? It's very clear, because they had unbelief. It's very easy, or it's an example of unbelief, to just do what's easy to do. Yeah, we trust in God. It's easy to say, I trust God. The Lord's going to bring me into rest. But it is unbelief to say that and then turn around and do like Israel did, complain, murmur, act on our own to solve our problems. If that is happening, then we are actually not believing what we say we believe. And without that belief in God, we will not enter into rest. Because when I believe in God, I believe that He can do all things and I can't. And therefore, I can do what verse number 10 says. When I have that realization that God can do it all, that I can then cease, as verse number 10 says, cease from my own works. Boy, people are trying to do their own works for salvation. Christians many times try to do their own works in the flesh and think that they're doing things for God. And we just work and work, and we're exerting effort in our own things instead of exerting effort in the things of the Lord, which is what the word spoudazo is encouraging us to do. Laboring to enter into that rest, or putting effort, conscious contemplation into the fact that, Lord, I can't do it. You can. I've got to stop acting on my own. Those who have entered into the rest have ceased from their own works. You know, many times we perhaps complicate the Christian life. We add all these work in there. We add all these things that we do in the flesh, and we make these things up and think that, well, we have to be the ones to get it done. You know, God does things that we don't even think, many times that we can't imagine. You know, every time that I worry about something, worry about how something is going to get done, or who's going to do this, or what's going to happen here, and worry about it, then all of a sudden God comes out of nowhere and provides through something that we just had no idea that was a possibility. And that's a rebuke to us, isn't it, many times? I know it is to me when I worry and fret about something and think, well, what am I going to do? And, you know, lose sleep over stuff sometimes. And, you know, you have those moments where you stand in the shower worrying to death, what in the world's going to happen? You know, and you just, yeah. Sometimes you think, what in the world am I doing here? What's going to happen? I don't want to get out of the shower. I just want to go hide in a hole somewhere. And the Lord just goes, boom. You forgot about that, didn't you? Yep, Lord, I'm just going to go back in that little hole and ask Your forgiveness now. That's the way the Lord works, because we're trying to do it in our own works. And He says, let's labor to cease from that, and let's labor instead to trust Him. And it's very hard for us to do that so many times, because we look it out here. We look at all the things, and we think, Lord, You must not be looking at what I'm looking at, because it's not looking too good. It looks hopeless. And then the Lord just provides this, and it's a rebuke to you. And we have to get down and say, Lord, forgive me for not trusting You. Help me to rest in You. And that's getting into this rest that Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about. There are, of course, other verses we could have looked at tonight. There's 11 verses total. This word is mentioned. But I thought of these three pretty familiar usages of the verb spoudazo. And yes, we are to leave things to God. And yes, He's done everything for us. But He's also told us and commanded us through this word to be diligent about some things as well. We need to be diligent about some things. Let's make haste. Let's hurry to the task. Let's put some effort and exert ourselves into these things, maintaining unity through self-denial, in studying God's Word to meet His standard, and to enter into a rest that ceases from ourselves. You know, too many times we make haste to the things that hinder us instead of making haste to the things that please the Lord. We go to the things that maybe aren't wise, maybe the things that aren't the best for us. But let's labor and make haste to those things that please the Lord. Father, thank you for just this brief study tonight from your word, for these passages of scripture that encourage us, Father, with the way that we should exert our energy spiritually to focus it on you. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we are working in our own works and we haven't ceased from ourselves. Lord, forgive us for that. Help us, Father, to grow to realize that more and more each day that you are the one that provides. You're the one that we can trust. And thank you, Father, that you've never failed and you never will fail. Bless now, Lord, the rest of our time as we take a request and go before you in prayer in Christ's name. Amen.